You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
Welcome back to Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious, and this is a special interview for me today. I am with a very good friend of mine, a Mr. Glenn Cripe, friend of the Blue Republican, but also one of the world's most fervent liberty fighters, I would say. Now, many of you know that most of the work that I do is in the U.S. I write about U.S. politics. Blue Republican is a U.S. organization. But some of you may also know that I've spent quite a lot of time traveling around the world, spreading the ideas of liberty, talking about things like the monetary system, the principles of classical liberalism, the art of political persuasion. And I do that under the auspices of the Language of Liberty Institute, which is the organization of which my friend and today's guest, Glenn Cripe, is the founder and executive director. Glenn, it's great to have you here.
Hello, Robin. This is a real treat. It's great to talk to you.
It's a treat for me, too, because we don't really talk nearly enough. So it's good to have this extra excuse for us to have an hour together.
That's right. And I hope we do more liberty camps together this year.
I am looking forward to that. That's for sure. And I'm also looking forward to having you tell my listeners exactly what they are and why it is I like to keep going and to support you in these efforts. In fact, let's start with the story you were telling me not long ago about what happened at the end of one of your most recent liberty camps in Ethiopia.
Yes, we were in Ethiopia just 2 months ago in December. We did a two-day seminar in Addis Ababa and a one-day seminar in a much smaller city about 300 miles to the north. And we met altogether nearly 100 students. So this incident happened at the end of the two-day seminar in Addis Ababa. We were in a small conference room in a hotel, nice hotel, and we had about 20 students. And what was hard for me to appreciate was the degree of risk that everybody took to organize this and to be there. Our organizer, a young man in his 20s, is required to get permission to have these events, permission from the police or from a government office. He has to specify, he has to tell them the program, the number of students, the location, the time, and everything. We were actually we had approval to hold this seminar.
Just so that the listeners are wondering what kind of seminar we're talking about, we're talking about a seminar about the kind of ideas that most of my listeners are very passionate about, the ideas of classical liberalism of people like Hayek, Bastiat, Rand, all of these big names of the liberty canon, right?
Yes. This was not our normal program, which is a five-day retreat out in the country, where we have workshops and long discussions and debates. This was a condensed form, so I'm calling it a liberty seminar mm-hmm. instead of a liberty camp. Mm-hmm. We were advised that, in fact, we should not call it a liberty seminar. The L word is dangerous in a one-party police state. So we called it an entrepreneurship and anti-poverty seminar.
Wonderful.
But our content was about the same as it usually is, which is the history of classical liberal thought and the basics of free market economics and the role and importance of entrepreneurs in any society. So this was all done in English. The students understood English and needed practice speaking English. So we did all this. But there was the sense that the police or the somebody in the government was aware and possibly watching and possibly even counting the number of people who went into the room to make sure we weren't breaking the rules, to make sure we weren't making trouble. And I found out that that morning that our organizer, actually just 2 weeks earlier, had been detained and beaten by the police. He was walking to visit a university campus, and he was, I suppose, carrying some books in his backpack. And I don't know if the police even looked at the books, but they didn't like where he was going or what he was doing. They beat him enough that he was in the hospital for 3 days. So he's okay, and he didn't have broken bones, but just to organize what to us is a simple event often means risking a lot in a country like this. So at the end of the seminar, he decided to ask three or four of the students to make a brief statement about what they learned and the importance, and he captured it on film. And one young man who was actually a little bit older than the others, he was about 30. He's an entrepreneur, a pharmacist. He owns his own pharmacy. So maybe a little bit more to risk than other people. And he said something that I certainly didn't expect and I thought was wonderful. He said, he thanked us for being there, for coming and doing this. And he said, to live a day in freedom is worth 1,000 in slavery. And I just thought, wow, you know, this is, I'm so happy that I could give him something important.
Mm. That's why I wanted you to start with that story, because one of the things that I love about participating in the Language of Liberty Institute and the seminars and the camps that you deliver is this feeling of making such an immediate difference to the lives that we touch through these ideas that we're passionate about, these ideas of liberty. And it's quite an awesome thing to be a part of.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, often we never know what impact we have. The students give us very good feedback, very nice feedback. More importantly, our local partners nearly always invite us to return. And at this point, we've been to 17 countries. That's in the past 9 years. We've been to 17 countries. 10 of them are former Soviet republics, nearly all developing countries. We've reached about 1,800 students. So sometimes, you know, we believe that we have the greatest ideas, and we would love to spread the ideas and maybe make the world a better place. But it's often hard to really feel like you're making a difference. With these camps, that's different. When I decided to start doing this, in other words, I felt like, okay, Glenn, you've done enough reading, you've gone to enough seminars, you know this stuff pretty well. It's time to take action. It's time to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a good opportunity to get involved with these camps, and then I figured out how to spread them, how to open new camps in new places, how to find the local partners needed to make it happen. And we've had some amazing experiences, and we've had the pleasure of working together on four or five of these, I believe. We've done nearly 40 camps and seminars at this point. And another benefit is that I can involve my good friends in this as well, to share the incredible experiences and to meet the incredible people.
And for context, just to say that the point of the Language of Liberty Institute is we're really taking those ideas where they're most needed, where maybe a liberty camp, as we call it, can deliver the most bang for the buck, right? Because the countries are developing economically, politically. A lot of them are former Soviet countries, for example. And they really need these ideas. These ideas aren't in the culture in the same way that they are in the United States.
Yes, that's right. And the organizers, the local partners that we work with, who are typically fairly young, like in their 20s or early 30s, they, in the case of the former Soviet republics, And these young people have grown up in a relatively free country, so they did not grow up under communism. But what they've seen for the past 20 years is limited or mixed success at reform.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen in some countries are doing well. They're prospering. Poland and Slovakia are, and the Baltic countries are relatively are prospering, but a lot of places are not. Central Asia, the Balkans, Africa, the young people are aware that there are better ways of doing things. What they need is the tools, and they need the networks, and they need the inspiration, and they need the reading lists. They need the exchange of ideas. So that we provide all of that, and it's very exciting to think that many of these are going to be the leaders. In these small countries, motivated, ambitious, intelligent, educated people can really have an impact. They can run for parliament. They can start a newspaper.
Hold it right there. We're going into our first break. We will be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Everyone to Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious, where I am talking with my good friend and founder of the Language of Liberty Institute, Glenn Cripe. And Glenn, just when we went to the break there, you were talking about how your organization, through these liberty camps held around the world, is helping turn young adults into the next generation of leaders for liberty.
Yes, that's right. And what we've already seen in just a few years is that some of our students have been motivated to start additional camps in their country or neighboring country, organize more seminars. We've seen them attend other conferences like Students for Liberty conferences and ISIL conferences, International Society for Individual Liberty. We work closely with them. We've seen them, in some cases, run for office. We've seen them make TV documentaries, write articles. So there is evidence. Another thing they do is some of them have become regional or local coordinators for European Students for Liberty or Brazilian mm-hmm. Students for Liberty. So I would never try to claim credit for all these things. I mean, these are people who are very motivated to do these things, but our programs give them, you could think of it as a kind of boot camp.
Right.
Basic ideas of liberty. In most places, English is not the native language, so we do nearly all of our programs in English. So one of the benefits they get is the English language practice. I might mention another thing we did in December after we left Ethiopia. After 6 days in Ethiopia, we went to, and when I say we, I'm talking about my partner, co-founder and director, Andy Eichen. Andy and I went to Bosnia for 3 days, and we had a two-day seminar, two-day liberty seminar. And we were allowed to use the word liberty in Bosnia. That's not a problem.
That's progress, yeah.
That's progress. And there was no evidence of police or any kind of watching or permission. It felt like a sense of danger, except that we learned a lot more from the people we met about what they had gone through. And maybe some of our listeners remember what was happening 15 to 20 years ago in Bosnia. We were in Sarajevo, and Sarajevo was under siege for nearly 4 years. The people had no water, no food, no electricity for nearly 4 years. And they were afraid to go out of the house because of the snipers. 80,000 people died. So, and the invaders, or the quote, bad guys, are still around. They're not far away. They're just down the road. So everything is calm and seems quiet and peaceful today. But the people in Sarajevo are afraid that this won't last. Their history teaches them that disaster can strike at any moment. So in our seminar, in a nice university classroom, everything seems very normal. We're discussing freely all these wonderful ideas that we believe will change the world. And then in the evening, when we hear some of these stories, we realize, you know, we need to work fast because the danger is real. The danger is nearby. And tomorrow I get on a plane and go home to my relatively free, beautiful, prosperous, wonderful America. And these young people don't leave. They stay there trying to figure out how to avoid the next disaster. So we believe our ideas can help, and this is the time and this is the place. So, yes, this is it's exciting, very exciting to do these things. I wish all of our listeners could join us.
Well, this is why I wanted to have you on, Glenn, because, you know, I want the listeners to know about Language of Liberty Institute and think about maybe just participating in a small way. Because, you know, it's so easy for us here in the United States to talk about liberty, to worry about the liberty we don't have and the liberty that we're losing. But there is nothing like appreciating, there's nothing like going abroad to some of these countries to appreciate what we have here in the U.S. and how much easier, really, it is for us here. Go ahead, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Now, there's clearly a lot of work to be done here at home, and we have many wonderful friends, and maybe our listeners are among them, who are fighting for freedom here in the U.S. So that's very important. I've found a particular niche and opportunity for my own interests and my own talents overseas, and I've built this network of students and organizers and sponsors overseas. But I see it as all a big picture, because in this 21st century world of relatively free trade and instant communication and easy travel, we're a big international society, and so the Bosnians and the Ethiopians, thanks to technology and more prosperity for most of us, they are our neighbors, effectively our neighbors, and whatever we can do to make our neighbors more free will make us more free in the big picture, in the long run. So I don't see any conflict. I think it's all part of a big...
Absolutely. And just to be clear, so our listeners understand, the many countries that you've been to, you're talking about places like Kyrgyzstan, Mozambique, Ethiopia and Bosnia that you already mentioned, Lithuania, Poland, Slovakia. I mean, you're going all over the world.
Albania. Don't forget Albania.
Albania, yeah.
How many people imagined 25 years ago that we could ever go to Albania? Let alone have liberty seminars and liberty camps.
Right.
Even and the young people in Albania are starting to learn English now at age 5. So it's just an incredible change, and largely for the better. And I think this will continue, and I hope to help.
Now we've got a couple of minutes left in this segment, Glenn. Just give us an example of the titles of some of the lectures or seminars that your team would be delivering at a liberty camp.
Yes, well, each one is a little bit different, as you know, but there's a certain body of standard information that we aim to communicate in each one, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5 days. We we discuss, for example, I often talk about the origin of rights and the role of government, drawn from the writings of Ayn Rand. We always talk about Bastiat and Hayek. At least if I have the floor, I certainly do that.
Definitely two of our favorites. Yeah.
And there are many obvious reasons to talk about these two individuals, but one important idea is that they tell good stories. So I always talk about Rand's essay about the meaning of money and Bastiat's essay about the what is seen and not seen, and Hayek's writings about spontaneous order and the role of intellectuals, because I think these are these topics and these essays give students important tools that they can use to communicate with other people back home.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not just about understanding the concepts. It's about being able to convey them in a way to others that can help them understand them too.
Yes, that's right. And when we have a longer time period, like 4 or 5 days at a camp, then there's opportunity for students to be much more active in evening debates, small discussion groups, projects, workshops, and presentations. And we assign them projects. One time it could be about starting a business and writing a business plan. Another time it could be about how to become more active and effective.
Hold on to your list. We'll be coming back in a few minutes.
Okay.
Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. I am talking to the founder and executive director of the Language of Liberty Institute, which is a non-profit, an NGO incorporated in Arizona, where you live. Isn't that right, Glenn?
Yes.
Now, what you do going around the world spreading the ideas of liberty, however, depends on not just your organization, but similar organizations in the countries that you visit. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. The key to doing all of this is to have good local partners. These are individuals, fairly young, who normally put together a team. They don't do this single-handedly. They're typically volunteers. It takes a lot of time. It takes a bit of money. And they, some of them are full-time students and some of them are working. So this is a spare time activity, and they need helpers. So they, I usually find them sometimes at conferences, but the biggest and most valuable source of new local partners has been former students.
Yeah, this is how your organization has grown organically, right? Students have been so touched by what they've learned in a camp for 4 or 5 days, then they will often go back. If they're not from the country where they're at the camp, they'll cross the border back to their home country and then set up next year or the year after their own version of a liberty camp, right?
Yes, that's right. Most of our camps have occurred for that reason, in that way. So if you think of what that means in terms of selecting students and sometimes finding sponsors or scholarships for students, we have been very pleased with the results of that process. We can't determine in advance that any given student will become a local partner, but our experience over several years is that does happen, and that wasn't initially a goal of ours, And it still isn't in the sense that we can actively make it happen, but we're happy with the results of our method of finding students and financing them.
And you mentioned financing, which is great, because one of the things that I find very compelling about Language of Liberty Institute, LLI, is that there's a big bang for your liberty buck. If somebody donates to you, what you can do with that, the difference you can make with that dollar in some of these countries is in many respects often greater than the difference that same dollar would make here at home in the United States.
Yes, absolutely. There are several reasons. One reason is the cost of doing these things in developing countries is often just a fraction of what it would be here in the U.S. So I hope some of our listeners are considering offering financial support. That would be wonderful. But remember that every dollar, your dollars go farther in foreign countries. Just to give you an example, we can do a typical 5 or 6 day Liberty camp, or Liberty English camp, we sometimes say, for approximately $13,000 to $15,000.
And that would be 40 students maybe for the whole week?
That would pay for 40 students plus 3 or 4 teachers, including travel costs, including all meals and accommodation at a decent place for a week, yes.
And also, one of the other kind of fun things about this is it's often done in the style of a retreat, right? We usually go out of the city so that it's kind of like a liberty submersion experience, isn't it? And the teachers and the students, we kind of live together, we get to know each other, we become friends, we eat together, and we kind of lap this stuff up for the entire duration of the camp.
Yes, that's right. It's intensive in the sense that it's 24/7. We really are, and it's informal. It's at the same time it's relaxed because it's fun. It's not a high pressure situation. But we are together. I'm eating together and all staying in the same building and taking breaks and having coffee and going running or swimming or hiking or leisure activities. The final evening, we always have a little ceremony where we give certificates and...
Hold on, Glenn. We're going into the break.
Okay.
We'll carry on when we come back. Of the original Blue Republican, talking to my friend Glenn Cripe about his Language of Liberty Institute. And I should also say that Glenn Cripe was not only is he a friend of mine, he was quite important in my journey to liberty, because when I stumbled, I think through a YouTube video of Peter Schiff, when I stumbled on Austrian economics and got onto Google and discovered that was something to do with libertarianism, and I started reading online, Glenn was the guy I emailed and said, okay, I think I'm interested in this liberty thing. What do I have to start reading? And he gave me the book list that you would expect with Bastiat, Hayek, and others. And then it wasn't very long before I found myself alongside Glenn in various interesting parts of the world teaching these very same ideas to some very receptive students. And as you've heard already in this show, nearly everything that Language of Liberty Institute does is in other countries. But one of the most moving experiences I have had whilst helping Glenn and participating in the Language of Liberty Institute as a teacher was actually in the United States, in Miami, Florida. Two people who had recently come from another country, in fact, persecuted dissidents from Cuba. And that was an unusual Liberty camp. First, it was a little shorter, but it was also than the normal camps, but it was also unusual because it was in done with simultaneous translation. The Cubans had been here, in most cases, for such a short time that they hadn't picked up enough English to hear these ideas, to understand these ideas. So it was all done with earpieces and simultaneous translation. And Glenn, that week made a huge impact on me because of the impact we were able to see we were making on these young Cubans who, in some ways, I've got to say, I found the experience very humbling, because there I was purporting to teach liberty, but in a deep sense, these people knew more about liberty from having experienced a complete deprivation of it than I will ever know.
Yes, I agree that every camp, every seminar makes an impression in some way. The people and the location and the background or the future of the individuals, and this group in Miami was very unusual in the ways that you say, and it was a little bit strange, because normally in our groups we were speaking English and we get to know the people a little bit. But
they speak English back to us, right?
Well, right. And normally we're together longer. We're together 2, 3, 4, 5 days, and you can get to know 30 people and have conversations with them. The Cubans, we were only together over the weekend, and it was very difficult because we all wanted to talk to one another, but it was beyond the ability. We didn't have enough translators, so it was difficult to feel like you got to know them.
Mm.
But finally, on the afternoon of the final day, one of the students, and it was different also because there was a bigger age range.
That's right. Yeah,
than our typical group. Our typical group is students, university students, so early 20s. But this group included middle-aged men and women as well. Many of whom, as you say, had been persecuted, physically harmed, beaten,
imprisoned,
time in jail. Mm. The man who stood up was Normando, and he's probably, what would you say, 35, 37 years old?
Sure, yeah.
He spent a considerable time in jail. He was a journalist, and he wrote an article criticizing the quality of the bread that the government produced. And they locked him up. So eventually they decided that he was more trouble than he was worth. He was better off in the States. So they forced him. He arrived, I don't know, roughly less than 2 years ago, arrived in Miami knowing no one. He arrived with his pregnant wife and 2-year-old daughter. So Normando stood up and said to us in a very emotional way that he was just kind of overwhelmed by our program and by all these ideas. And he said, all our lives we've had these feelings, what you're saying, but we had no idea that there was a philosophy, that there was an organized body of knowledge. He was very excited about that. And they were all excited about maybe someday doing these things in Cuba. They all want to rebuild civil society in Cuba.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing to be a small part of that. And I remember there being a gentleman who was a lawyer who said that he had been, that he was in his 40s and he'd been practicing law his whole life. And yet in the back of that effective classroom that we had, listening to these ideas of liberty, to this philosophy, he felt that he was at kindergarten all over again.
Yes, and I just wonder if our listeners had similar experiences. I know that I'm old enough to remember when there weren't very many libertarians, and it was so exciting to find. I mean, fortunately, this has changed. Right? I mean, we're everywhere now. Thousands of them will be together in 10 days at the Students for Liberty conference in Washington. This is just a fantastic change in my lifetime. But I do remember, and maybe some of the others remember when you first had that feeling, you're not alone. You're not crazy. You're not crazy. There really are. There are writers and thinkers, and there are other people who think the same way. And you can get together with them, and you can spend the whole evening or the whole night or the weekend talking about these ideas. And what a wonderful, wonderful feeling that was. That's the sort of experience that many of our students have at the camp, students who come from places like, well, Moldova or Ethiopia or Cuba. Cuba is the best. That rush, you know, we can imagine what they're feeling because we used to experience that ourselves here.
And also, you know, going around doing my Blue Republican thing in the U.S., trying to spread liberty here, get people out of the partisan boxes, the whole left-right thing. I often have the pleasure of hearing the road to Damascus experiences that people have had, you know, when they kind of come to liberty, you know, some from the left and some from the right and some from nowhere in particular. To participate in LLI is to be a small part, in some cases, of that experience for other people. And it's an amazing feeling.
Yes, well, we were looking forward to another great year. Last year we did about 10 programs, and this year we will probably do about the same number. We're still planning them. Our first one will be we'll return to the Georgia Republic for our second time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you one thing that's really interesting is the location where we meet.
You've got to tell me in 1.5 minutes because we're coming up to the end of this segment. So, yeah, let's hear it.
Our local partner works with the Free University of Georgia, where hundreds and thousands of students every year learn Austrian economics, and they learn classical liberal philosophy. So our ideas are not new to them. They know what they're getting, but they want to explore and discuss and learn communication techniques. But the place we go is the conference center of the university, and it's out in a bunker, out in the country, out in a field, just this big cement box. Well, inside it's been redone, so it's a very nice conference center. But during the Cold War, it really was a bunker, and it was stuffed with electronic equipment that was used to jam the radio broadcasts of the Voice of America.
I love it. So there you are, bringing the Voice of America, the voice of liberty, the voice of what's best about America, what America is supposed to stand for, into the heart of the place from which that voice was silenced for so long.
Exactly. And we're using their electronic equipment to teach one another about freedom and to have debates. And so I just love little moments like that.
That is very sweet. That is a win. for liberty.
Yes, it's a definite feeling. You're sitting there in the heart of the heart of the beast.
Glenn,
the feeling that we're winning, yes.
We're going into our break. That's a fantastic story. We'll be back in a few minutes. Friend, tell the listeners to this show what they can do if they want to support you in any way.
Yes, our website, please take a look at that. It's languageofliberty.org. You will find a short video about what a camp looks like. You will find a page with our activities for 2013 with photos and programs. You'll find a page with upcoming events, so keep an eye on that. And, very important, a donate button. The donate button will take you to a little explanation that we work closely with our friends with International Society for Individual Liberty, and they will process your contribution. Remember that you're supporting not just one camp, but many future camps and many future leaders. And I hope I can see some of you at a Liberty camp or at the ISIL World Conference in Albania next summer.
Yeah, and it's important to say that anybody who wants to support you, there is the opportunity for them to come and actually join you to watch, participate in a camp that they may be financially supporting, and to meet these amazing new, hopefully, leaders of liberty in a country of their choice.
And to spread freedom together everywhere.
Glenn, thanks so much for being on my show to explain this wonderful endeavor. It's been going since 2004, which was the year we met. As I say, you also have been an important part in my journey to liberty, so I'm particularly pleased to have this opportunity to invite you to kind of share the good of what you're doing and that I've also had the pleasure of participating in. Thanks, everybody, for listening to The Blue Republican Radio for the Liberty Curious. Join me next week, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times, WGRR Digital.